This is a Main Hustle Media podcast.
Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Jackie O and you're listening to Militantly Mixed.
Yo, this is Rashani from the Single Simulcast. And when I'm not making you laugh or making up parody songs, I'm kicking back, listening to Militantly Mixed.
Main Hustle Media podcasts are recorded on the ancestral lands of the Chumash, Tongva, Hohokam, and Yucateco Maya people. And we wish to pay our respects to the people of those nations, both past and present. Konnichi, what's up, cousins? Welcome to Militantly Mixed, the podcast about race and identity from the mixed race perspective. I am your sir auntie, and this is Monday, the day that I'm recording. Monday is the day that the show normally releases. I was not able to get an episode recorded last week because I had a number of bad health days, or at least like bed desk days where I was in bed doing work. And quite frankly, I'm kind of tired of recording from my bed because the show doesn't sound good. I did record something and I hated hearing it back. So if I don't feel good enough to sit up straight and sit in my studio room with my microphone, then I don't think I will record on those weeks. Today is Monday. I do finally feel good enough to sit up, and so I'm going to sit up for a little while to record this. And even though I am getting tired, I'm going to try to get this out for y'all today. Probably I'm not going to edit it. I'm probably just going to throw it up. There's cars in the background. There's dogs in the background. I have my windows open instead of my AC on because I'm trying to save money. And it's just going to be a mess today. I hope you don't mind. So last week, the episode aired late because Spotify, for whatever reason, didn't release it on time, even though it was scheduled to release on time. That's not what happened today. What happened today is I wasn't up to recording in my office last week. I did record something, but when I listened back, I was like, garbage, it sounds like trash, I'm not going to do this again. So I'm going to keep it to only being able to record on days that I can sit up in my studio. But I'll try to be better about announcing when I'm not getting an episode up. Now, it may seem weird that I wasn't able to get an episode up last week, or on time last week, I guess. And then this one's late today, too. But I released a podcast last week, a new podcast. That is true, but that is also something I've been working on since the summer, and it was just ready. In fact, we recorded so far in advance that the next few weeks of episodes are edited and uploaded and just sitting there waiting to be released, or they're partially edited and almost ready to go. So November 17th was just the date that we had released Matcha, Masala, and Murder, a true crime podcast hosted by myself and Rhea Mayakur from Mixed Race Mama, who's been a guest on this show, episode 207. We've really been having a blast working on this project together, and if I'm honest, it's one of the few little patches of happy that I'm kind of allowing myself right now, given just how fucked up things are in the world and how much I'm involving myself in what is fucked up in the world. Between my liberation work with my group that I'm working with and just watching what my husband's been experiencing for the last month and a half, you know, almost becoming Palestinian for the first time in his mixed Palestinian life. It's heavy. A lot of us are experiencing it. And if you're not also doing activism work, I don't know how you're doing your everyday life stuff, but in my case, because I'm doing activism work, it's really hard to do anything joyful. But I still have to do a job. We all have to do our job, right? We have to pay our bills. And while I don't make that much money doing podcasting, I really only make money that I put back into the shows. Enough to put back into the shows, not enough to pay myself. Yet, it's still the job that I've given myself. So I punch my clock on podcasting the way you punch your job, the clock on your salary job. And we've been in pre-production on the show since the summer, and it's time, and I'm just really happy with what we've created. Now, the first couple episodes are rocky because we realized the mistake of not including Ann Murder in our title, and so we had to kind of rebrand after the fact. And so some of the first three episodes are a little dodgy because we were just calling the show Matcha Masala, and we wanted to change our artwork and stuff like that too. So after the fourth episode, things get normal and on brand and on board. But those first three episodes are really good in the conversations that we had, but the branding was off. So the edit, you can hear me like jumping in on the recording to correct the name of the show and stuff like that. I also mispronounce a poison that's mentioned on one of our episodes every time I said it, and when I caught it later, I had to re-record how to say this the correct way of saying it. So it's been bonkers to get us to this place, but we're finally ready. It's out, it's up, it's ready to go, and we're having a really fun time doing it. So for those of you in the audience who are already true crime fans, please check us out, share us with friends, follow us on Spotify and on YouTube, and comment and like and share and rate and review to help us grow, because it's really critical in the early, you know, first month or two that we get as much growth as possible so that we can get some momentum going on this show. What I hope you'll like and take away from it is that it's not just a regular garden variety, we're just late to the game true crime podcasters. We're actually taking the crimes that we select, which are predominantly historical crimes, and talking about it through our unique lens as mixed people, mixed brown people, people mixed with both the colonizer and the colonized. We're going to talk about race, class, gender, sexuality, any of the cultural context things that are necessary for the episodes and things like that. That's the lens that we're attacking these stories from. So we're going to share these stories, but then we're discussing them in terms of the cultural context that either we come from or that should exist in the story that isn't being told by your garden variety true crime podcaster. If you're not a true crime podcaster person, but maybe you just want to support me or Rhea because you like us, check us out. Maybe you'll like the way that we do it, or share it at least with your true crime podcast friends, because I know you know somebody who's hardcore in true crime. We're a dime a dozen out on these streets. So it's been really fun. We are going to be doing a live on Tuesday. So if this goes up on Monday and you're listening to it on Monday, there'll be a Instagram live from the Matcha Masala Murder account alongside my at Charmaine Fury account. So if you follow me on the Blasian Blurred, I changed that to Charmaine Fury a couple days ago. And the reason why is because I'm not really sure what my role is in nerd spaces right now, as I've been dealing with boycott and other things like that, and just the fact that I live here in Mexico and it's not easy for me to engage in nerd spaces. It's kind of having an impact on the way that I create content, nerd content, and so I thought it might be better, or this would be the best time for me to shift myself again. I know I've done it several times. So the Blasian Blurred account is now Charmaine Fury. That way, if you know me by name, and you know any of my shows, you'll find me all in one, you know, swoop, and you don't have to worry about trying to figure out who I am on the internet. So we'll be doing that for Matcha Masala Murder and the Charmaine Fury account on Instagram. It'll be at 11 a.m. my time and 6 p.m. UK time for Rhea, which if you're in the U.S. listening to us, 9 a.m. Pacific and 12 p.m. Eastern. The reason why we have to do it at that time is because Rhea and I live across the pond from each other, so it's 6 p.m. for her and 11 a.m. for me, which is the most reasonable time for both of us to get on. So hopefully, if you're around, you can catch it, ask us some questions, make suggestions of crimes you would like to hear us review, engage us in conversation, what have you. That would be great. And if not, you know, listen back, you know, and learn why we're doing this and what fun we're having and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But that kind of leads me to what I'm going to talk about just briefly on today's episode. I don't wish to make this episode very long because I'm pretty tired and I can already hear my throat kind of, or feel my throat kind of getting a little scratchy. related to Matcha Masala murder. You know, I said this being like the thing that gives me kind of the most joy right now. I've been dealing with a little bit of guilt related to finding moments of joy. And I'm not finding a ton of moments of joy right now, but, you know, I'm finding them. You know, I'm a regular person. Everybody is. And you can't just dig into the hardship all the time, 100%. You at some point, something will make you laugh or, you know, whatever. And there's this weird kind of guilt that comes along with finding joy during a time of crisis. And so I've been kind of dealing with that a little bit lately, but I can't help that I think about it all the time. And so I'm trying to balance this conversation. I'm trying to figure out this conversation that is happening publicly right now. And I'm not going to end this episode with any kind of solution, but I'm just talking it out. Talking out my feelings about it. And maybe if you're in the middle of this internal conversation too, it'll be helpful. Or maybe you have some pointers or thoughts that you can share with me too in the comments or in the emails or whatever. Because and there's a number of content creators that are also dealing with this at this moment. It's, you know, what is the appropriate balance between rest and guilt, or rest and activity, or joy and guilt and joy and activity when you are trying to fight for the liberation of oppressed people, but you can't be on 24/7, but you have to be on 24/7. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not a short fight. This is not going to wrap up itself in a month or so. We're in it for the long haul until we see some reasonable semblance of liberation across the board. And I just don't know what life looks like when it, quote, goes back to normal. I don't think it goes back to normal after what we've witnessed. So you have to live your life, right? You have to go to work. You have to pay your bills. You have to do your job. But you also have to be present in this fight too, because not just because it's affecting another people, but also because it affects you, whether you think so or not. What gets tested out against Palestine gets put into action in the U.S. a lot, and in other Western countries as well. This is something that's been shown and proven in a lot of different things, and I wish I had them tagged right now so I can put them in the show notes, but all this information I've been sucking in for the last month and a half has shown that, you know, when they want to test out a new thing in policing, they do it against Palestinians first. And then Israel either sells that technology or the U.S. is already invested in that technology. And so they tested it, they take it here. So once they deem it successful against Palestinians, they put it into action here in the U.S. So a lot like how many of our U.S. police departments are trained by Israeli Mossad and the IOF, that's a way in which what's happening in Israel and Palestine impacts American citizens negatively. And most recently, there is the biometric scanner thing, the face scanner thing that has happened. The technology that was developed by HP, it was put into place in Palestine so they can at any time scan the faces of any Palestinians that come through or near checkpoints, and then they end up getting databased and everything in, and it allows them to track them really easily. Well, that technology made its way to U.S. after they felt confident that it was working in Palestine. And in some subtle ways in which it exists is now when you're flying internationally, you have the option. They don't make it seem like it's an option, but you can say, I don't want to be a part of this, where you get, rather than showing your passport, you get biometrically scanned, and you have to stand in front of a like an iPad that takes your picture. It verifies that you are who you say you are, and then it lets you go through. You're supposed to have the right to decline that. The signage doesn't make it seem. It seems like, oh, it's here to make it easier for you. But what it is just a way to get your face in a trackable system. And so even like when you use your face identification on your phone, same type of thing. It's a problem that I didn't even consider a problem until I started hearing about it, until I started reading about it. A way to track your movements and stuff like that, which is kind of scary. It just got voted into San Diego last week, in which the city is now going to allow for AI identification through CCTV and other things citywide in San Diego. And it's just an early step in going full-blown police state, like in Palestine. So when a lot of people in the U.S. or other Western countries are saying the issues that are happening there do not affect us, they do, because they're testing it out against Palestinians, a population that they deem inhuman and don't matter. And then they're bringing it to our places so they can police and punish our black and brown people a little bit better. And by extension, I'll say our queer people too, because they're on the list also. And so when you start to learn things like this, and when you're seeing all this carnage that's happening in social media, and you get to witness dead babies being lined up in a hospital because the power was turned off or bombed by Israel, and now all these babies are dying, or pulling children or adults out of the rubble and all this kind of stuff. We're watching this, we're witnessing this, and it gets to a point that it just gets so hard to process. You can't even conceive of what their day-to-day life is right now if they're having to flee from this at all times. And then you catch yourself, you know, in your home, in your backyard or something like that, and you're laughing about something, or you're having joy in a moment. And those joyful moments are catching me hard, because the second I do that, I instantly start to feel guilt. And I'm trying to figure this out, because I don't think you can avoid it. You're a human person. Something's going to strike you funny, or you're going to actively want to go do something entertaining. And then and then sometimes you get caught in this moment of guilt, feeling like, do I even have a right? You get caught in this moment where you feel like, do I even have a right to feel joy right now? Do I have a right to press the pause button and have fun for a moment? And that's been tough, because we have to stay vigilant. And like I said, it is a 24/7 thing, but we're also human beings, and we can't run on 24/7. You need to take breaks. You need to rest. You need to have pauses for your mental health. But the thing is, it can't be like what that quote liberal woke white woman said on the news desk, or whatever the fuck that channel was that got blasted earlier in this crisis, when they said, oh, just take it off for the weekend. You don't have to watch other people suffer. You can just turn it off for the weekend. That is not a privilege that I have. That's not a luxury I have, because even if I turn it off for Palestine for the weekend, as a black and brown person, I'm going to witness it when I go outside. Before I left the U.S., I was living in Houston, a predominantly brown community, a black community that was heavily gentrified and overly policed. And so I could literally just walk out of my front door and see it. So I can't turn it off. Even if I turned off Palestine, I can't turn it off there. It was in my neighborhood. Now that I live here in Mexico, in what is the second safest city in the Western Hemisphere, the police here are strapped to the nines. They're full-blown assault rifle guilt at all times. You don't see a whole lot of police harassment or anything here, but just the image of them like that is pretty jarring. And in addition to that, you know, there's a mix, just like any place, of high affluence and low poverty. And so I can't turn it off, because I'm not going to be able to not see it. Whether it's happening in Palestine, the murder of civilians, or it's just poverty, heavy poverty, wherever I live in the U.S. or Mexico, I can't turn it off. So how do I take breaks? How do I balance and also deal with the guilt that I experience in trying to balance? And one thing that has been helpful to me, because I am feeling the guilt whenever I try to enjoy something, is I'm in this group right now. It's a liberation group, and we're working towards organizing something together as a collective. And everybody has a different role. Everybody has a different strength. And so we all try to, you know, we're trying to figure out who we are in this space and what we're supposed to do. But one of the things that we've agreed on collectively is that if someone can't do it today, if someone has a mental health day, a rough, you know, rough one or something like that, that they put it in the chat, that they say, hey, y'all, I'm having a bad mental health day. It's just not in me. I think I need to take a pause. And right after someone sends that, you know, five people respond really quickly. And it's like, we got you today. You don't have it in you. That's okay. I have it today. Was there anything that you were working on that you would like me to pick up for you? Boom, I'm doing that. Or the comforting statement of like, I understand that you don't have it today. Today was rough for me too. We're going to go ahead and take our, you know, breath, have a cup of tea, go to bed, whatever it is, and, you know, recharge so that we got it tomorrow. And, you know, everybody's is pitching in on each other's mental health and having that experience. And I've been on and off in different activism spaces a lot of my adult life. And I've never seen the kind of support that that group. That group offers each other. Like, it's so immediate. It's so immediate. When someone says, I don't have it today. And so many people jump in and they're like, I got you. Where were you? What do you need? Where did you leave off? Can I write something for you? Can I film a TikTok for you? Can I pick up whatever work? Do you just want someone to sit here with you? Do you want someone to comfort? You know, like they jump in immediately and it's so amazing. And it reminds me of the... It reminds me that there is no solo in this game. We cannot be solo fighters for freedom. We cannot be solo revolutionaries. We can't. We got to do it in collective. We have to have a community. And I won't say that it'll alleviate the guilt altogether, but what it does is it reminds me that I have a responsibility to rest. You know, not just permission, a responsibility, because this is a long game. We're not going to resolve this in the next month. This is a long game. So we need to keep our stamina up, and we won't be able to do that solo. We won't be able to do that if we're on 24/7. We're going to have to take our break. And so finding yourself a community group that will pick up the slack on the day that you don't got it, and that you step up to pick up the slack on a day your cohort, your comrade, your friend, your fellow activist, whatever title you're giving the people in your group, that you pick up the slack on the days that they don't got it, and they pick up the slack on the days you got it. And that is so fucking freeing, because it reminds me that most of us come from the village. Most of us ancestrally come from the village, where everybody chipped in for the collective good. And that is what we're doing right now. If we're fighting for liberation, we are fighting for the collective good. And you can see it. Even though our governments are fucking up left and right, you can see it. The people are coming out. The people are saying, we disagree with what you're doing. You do not have our vote. You do not have our support. You are spending our tax dollars incorrectly. There are people collectively suing these governments. There are people marching. You have 2 million people marched for Palestine in Indonesia a couple weeks ago. 500,000 multiple times in London, in the UK. 300,000 in DC recently. Mexico City. There's even a tiny one here in Mérida where I live on Thursdays. I just found it online the other day, and I can't physically go out to it yet, but whenever I finally can, I'm going to be out there with them. You know, maybe learning how to chant in Spanish alongside of them. But the world is the oppressed, the brown, the non-heavily militarized countries. We're coming out and we're saying in large numbers, this is done. We cannot keep living like this, and we're going to flip our systems. And again, it's not a short fight. It's a long fight. And I recommend that if you're struggling with that guilt right now, if you're struggling with the guilt of being an active member in this fight for liberation at the same time trying to be human yourself, like remembering why you're fighting, I think, to a degree, having moments of joy, having moments of peace even, you just got to do it in a system where someone takes your place when you're down. again, I don't think it alleviates the guilt altogether. And maybe the guilt is a positive, because as long as you're feeling guilty that you're resting or you're having peace when others aren't, that should keep you motivated, hopefully, to keep fighting, to not get so comfortable that you can, with your whole chest, get on TikTok and say, it's okay to turn off the tragedy this weekend and just take a break from it. Act like it's not happening so that you can be happy for a weekend. Maybe that guilt keeps us in check to stay human. It's not ideal because it sucks sometimes, but maybe that's the key. Maybe that's what sets us apart from good and bad. Maybe, I don't know. But I still recommend you find ways to take your breaks and to recharge so that you have the stamina for the next leg of the journey. Because again, this is going to be a long fight. And hopefully none of this I've said is nonsense, because I've really just been talking off the dome. But I've been feeling like this for a couple weeks of balancing work for liberation, work for podcasting, because that's my job, and finding joy. And there's some days I'm really hard on myself. And there's some days I don't think I'm hard enough. But what this group that I'm in is teaching me is that when you're in community, when you exist in a village, someone will pick up the slack when you don't got it. So you have to find that community, because you're not going to be able to be a solo freedom fighter. You just can't. One, you won't be successful. You won't be effective. And two, you'll tire yourself out. You'll die. Yeah. So I know that I've been promising the beginning liberation episode and the BDS episode and the how to combat when someone comes at you with, if you lived in Palestine, they would kill you for being queer. Or if you lived in Palestine, they would kill you for being black. And all that crazy misinformation stuff that you hear. Those are things I still want to work on. And I want to be very thoughtful and accurate as much as I can be for those episodes. With the BDS and boycott one, I'm really struggling because I've learned so much information in the last week that has kind of undone some of the thoughts that I've been going hard on, like publicly going hard on for the last month or so, that I need to sit with it for a little while to process and really figure out what my alignment is, so I can stay effective on behalf of the boycott for BDS and not hypocritical in my own life, or even worse, performative, I think. So I'm working on that. When I get through that process for myself, I'll be in a better place to re-record that episode. And then with the liberation episode, I have recorded a bunch of it, but I recorded it from my bed desk, and you know, now it's been a couple weeks. It's probably garbage at this point. So I think I just need to start from scratch. So what I'm not going to do anymore is pressure myself to do a certain episode on a certain week. And just, you know, keep working on what I'm working on. And whatever ends up being the thing that I feel is the thing I need to talk about today will be the thing I end up releasing an episode on today. That being said, December is coming up and I usually go on hiatus in December. In terms of recording, I may go on hiatus. Because like with Matcha Masala, those episodes are pretty much already recorded. They just need to be edited and put up, which I can get done by the end of November. Blurred Comics, again, I don't know if I can maintain that schedule. So unless we can record it at a different time, I may be taking an extended break from Blurred Comics for a while. And in fact, that's been on my mind for quite a while. With Militantly Mixed, this is the platform in which I release this information for Palestine out, so I don't know if I will take a full break, but I may still. I'm still trying to figure that out, and I have, you know, 2 weeks to figure that out. So I think I'm learning my lesson. I'm not going to promise anything at this point. I'm just going to say I'm going to do my best in balancing my health issues and the work that I'm trying to do for liberation and the work that I'm trying to do with podcasting. I will update people when I know things, and hopefully I will be able to stay consistent with my episodes. And if I do take the hiatus in December, I'll still be doing work. I just might be taking a recording hiatus like I normally do. I'll still be doing work for liberation, and maybe I can come back a lot stronger in January or something. I don't know. We will see. Before I get out of here, I do want to say thank you to anybody who has recently bought shirts. I was not actively advertising the shirts because I didn't really feel right about it. The Be Your Mix Ass Self annual t-shirt for 2023 is up and has been up for over a month, and I've just left it there silently. I mentioned it a couple times, but I'm just going to go ahead and leave it up. If you end up wanting it, you can get it. It'll be available. I'm not going to pull it down in November like I would have normally done, because it hasn't been an effective fundraiser and I haven't been effectively trying to fundraise. Even though December, January is the expensive time of year that determines whether or not I can keep doing the show or not, it just doesn't feel like a time I feel comfortable fundraising. So I'll just leave the shirts up. That being said, a number of people have bought shirts in the last week and a half, so I wanted to say thank you for that. The Be Your Mix Ass Self 2023, the I'm Not Racially Ambiguous, You're Just Confused t-shirt, the Decolonize Everything shirt, and the logo shirts, they're just up. They're always up, and people have been getting them the last week, so I wanted to say thank you for that. And some of the mugs, too, were getting picked up as well, so thank you for that. You know, it's not a whole lot of money that comes to Militantly Mix after the fees for the printer are done, but every little bit helps keep the show going. So I do appreciate, not to mention also the advertisement, because I hope it sparks conversation and then you'll tell people about the show. So yeah, anyways, thank you for folks that have been buying shirts lately. I've been seeing you pop up and I really appreciate it. And I think that is it for now. So this is Monday, what is that, November... I have no idea. I'm looking at my phone real fast. November 20th, and the Instagram Live on Matcha Masala Murder is November 21st, so check us out, and if you get a chance to swing by YouTube or Spotify, Matcha Masala Murder, and, you know, give us a follow, give us a listen or a watch, and give us a review too, because that will really help us grow. And to close this out, I just want to say, don't forget to be your mixed-ass selves, y'all, and free Palestine. Peace, y'all.
Militantly Mix is a Maine Hustle Media podcast, produced and hosted by me, Charmaine Fury. Music is by David Bogan, the One. You can follow us on social media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Militantly Mixed. If you'd like to become a sponsor of Militantly Mixed, please go to patreon.com/militantlymixed for monthly sponsorship or paypal.me/militantlymixed for a one-time only donation. And if you like what you hear on Militantly Mixed, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to be your mixed-ass self.
Main Hustle Media. Turn your side hustle into your main hustle.